You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome to The Encouragers with Minister Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael, bringing words of encouragement for everyday life.
Our Father, who art in heaven, most sovereign God, please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to speak on the radio. May what I give be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. February is Black History Month. Therefore, I will take a few moments to acknowledge two Black Americans that contributed much to the making of a great United States of America. Number one, Nurse Lorene Harriet Bryant, my mother, was the first African American registered nurse to work at Monroe Memorial Hospital in Ocala, Florida. She was head nurse of the surgical floor. She was the leader of three employees to integrate the hospital's dining room. The patients enjoyed hearing her sing hymns as she walked down the hallways doing her duties at work. Number two, Dr. Elaine W. Bryant, my sister, was the first African-American female to serve as director at the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. She is the CEO, president of her own consulting and training business, E.W. Bryant Associates, and a professor at Florida A&M University in Tallahassee, Florida. My topic for the day is the Beatitudes, Part 2. I will continue with the series on the Beatitudes found in the 5th chapter of Matthew. Verse 7 states, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. The kindness and forgiveness that the merciful show to others will also be shown to them. One thing that is common to the poor in spirit, the meek, and those who hunger for righteousness is that their life is not self-sufficient, but look outward for help. They understand mercy, for they know their own inadequacies, dependence, weaknesses, and incompleteness. And when they receive gracious and merciful bounty from the King, they are in turn know to show mercy to others. Showing mercy to others includes both the forgiveness of the sinner and compassion for the suffering and the needy. They are called blessed because they place showing mercy above their own rights. They take no hostile stand against people in need, but try to show kindness to others and heal wounds. It is not that they are merciful by nature, but because they have been shown mercy and live in constant dependence on the Lord." Verse 8 states, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." The pure in heart are those whose pursuit of purity and uprightness affects every area of life. They shall see God. The Beatitude picks up an Old Testament image and applies it to its fulfillment in the kingdom. It describes both an inner purity and a singleness of mind. The heart is used in the Bible for the will, the choices. And so to be pure in heart means that the decision one makes, the desires one has, the thoughts and intentions of the will are untarnished by sin, and that the will is determined to be pleasing to God. From the pure in heart comes only good things, acts of love and mercy, desires for righteousness and justice, decisions that please God. And the promise for them is that they will see God. What an incredible statement. The Bible says that no one has ever seen God. People have seen appearances of the Lord in various forms, like Moses on Mount Sinai, seeing the hem of the garment, or the Israelite leaders eating with the Lord and seeing the God of Israel in the form of the revealed presence, or in Isaiah, or John. How does one gain a pure heart? It begins with conversion when God gives us a new heart, and it continues through the spiritual growth as we follow Christ. Walking in the light, meaning learning to live by the word of God, will change the way we think so that our hearts will grow more and more pure. But as the light of the word reveals impurities, we must deal with them and change. Verse 9 states, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." The peacemakers are those who promote God's messianic peace. In Hebrew, shalom, which is total well-being, both personally and communally, will receive the ultimate reward of being called sons of God. God is the God of peace. His whole plan of redemption is to provide peace with God for those who were formerly alienated from God, and ultimately bring peace to the whole world. This is the goal of the work of the Messiah. But in the human race, however, there is strife and conflict with little hope for peace and unity. The peace that God brings is not a cessation of hostilities, tolerance, or the readiness to give way. True peace that the world needs calls for a complete change of nature, and only God can give this kind of peace. It is a peace that the world does not understand. It begins with reconciliation with God and extends to reconciliation with other people. Those who are peacemakers are then first and foremost people who understand what true peace is. Their effort is to strive to establish a peace that embraces God's provision of peace, so that the people will be in harmony with one another because they are at peace with God. In other words, the true peacemakers are those who promote the kingdom of God. Their lives are given to working for the promoting of the kingdom of God, reconciling adversaries, quenching hatred, uniting those who are divided, promoting true understanding and spiritual love. And they do this because they know what true peace is. So the quality described here is one that is spiritual and not simply a political seeking of peace. Verse 10 states, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Those who are persecuted are those who have been wrongly treated because of their faith. God is pleased when his people show that they value him above everything in the world. And this happens when they courageously remain faithful amid opposition for righteousness' sake. In this fallen world, when people try to promote peace, or champion righteousness, or live a life of gentleness and meekness, they find opposition. One would think that such a life would attract people to the kingdom of God. But the fact that it does not naturally do that tells us clearly that the race is not only alienated from God, but in rebellion to God. They might want a form of justice, but in their own terms. They much prefer power and privilege and possessions. And so John the Baptist called for righteousness and went to an early death. And Jesus proclaimed all the right virtues, but found opposition to his message because it called for them to enter his kingdom. And if they persecuted these, will they not also oppose the disciples? The Beatitudes is not simply for all who have suffered persecution. God, as the righteous judge of the earth, will deal with that as well. But this Beatitude is for followers of Christ, those who suffer persecution for the sake of righteousness. And as the next verse clarifies to the disciples, that means suffering for Christ's sake. They have been identified by faith with the King. They carry his name, and they proclaim the good news that there is a kingdom of righteousness and peace that is spiritual and eternal. But they will find opposition. Nevertheless, they should rejoice, for their reward in heaven will be great. God will make it up to them and more. The lesson would simply be that people should be living for Christ in this world, living the way members of the kingdom should live, championing righteousness and justice, showing mercy, remaining meek and poor in spirit, all the things that the Beatitudes praise. But they should know that genuine righteousness is offensive to many, and so they will be prepared for opposition. Verses 11 and 12 state, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets, which were before you." Jesus teaches, "Blessed are you when others revile or scold you and persecute you on my account." Just as Jesus experienced opposition and persecution, his disciples can expect the same. Their reward may not come on earth, but it surely will be theirs in heaven. So they persecuted the prophets throughout history, beginning with Cain's murder of Abel. There has been those who oppose God's people. These last couple of verses have an implicit claim to deity by Jesus. In the Old Testament, the prophets were persecuted because of their faithfulness to God. Now Jesus says that his disciples will be persecuted because of their faithfulness to him. He is God. Jesus was crucified on the cross for our sins. He was buried but rose from the dead 3 days later with all powers in his hands. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Therefore, as believers, we must live for Christ. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. There is the saving power of the Holy Spirit. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of a living God, and are willing to confess your sins to God and ask for forgiveness, God will forgive you. If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. Now, a breath of fresh air with Minister David Michael.
Good afternoon and welcome to A Breath of Fresh Air with the Encourager. Today's topic is spending time with God. Many people want to work for God, but they don't want to spend time with God. Research indicates that adults spend an average of 6 hours per day watching television, 3 hours per day on cell phones, and 2.5 hours per day on social media. How much time in prayer, praise, worship, Bible study, and meditation are you spending with God daily? Relationships grow deeper and closer through spending time together. It's no different in your relationship with God. It is important to spend time alone with God in order to know Him more. Mark 1:35 says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." When we spend time with God, we experience a freedom to express ourselves to him, and we allow him to speak with us directly through his word and prayer. Spending time alone with God out of love is a way to fellowship with Him and to abide in Christ. It is important to spend time with God because God is the source of our strength, and we need His strength to fight our spiritual battles. We also spend time alone with God because it is a great pleasure and a part of the abundant life Jesus came to bring. Now you may be thinking, "I would love to spend more time with God, but I just don't have the time." It's not easy to shut out the world, set aside a few moments by myself, and spend time in God's word and prayer. It may not be easy, but it is essential. Make it a priority, because we don't want to serve the world and miss the Savior. Do we serve in the community while our Bibles gather dust? Are we volunteering our time but neglecting our prayer life? We will be most effective